Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, March 20th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
It goes mostly forward, a little sideways, it's a momentum play.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll let that momentum take me right over to Jeff Butts. How are you, sir?
It's another happy Monday.
Yes, indeed. Another part that makes it happy for me is that Blue Apron is our sponsor today, and we'll talk about them soon. First, though, I kind of feel a rant coming on, at least from you, Brian. So you were looking into the news of Apple's taxes with New Zealand and how those were paid. And can you explain that to me and then explain to me why you're kind of hot under the collar about this?
Sure. I'm hot under the collar. I'll start with the second question because I'm hot under the collar out of principle, which is where I usually get hung up. Where Apple has excelled better than possibly every other company on the planet is in shifting where the profits that it makes are earned and shifting them from where they're earned to low tax districts.
Okay.
This is that thing that we've got going on with Ireland.
Yeah. Okay.
And the EU. And this is not about Apple, moving money offshore or anything like that, or tax. Tax. This is not tax evasion. This is tax avoidance, which is legal. And usually, Apple's defenders and brand critics alike will go with the it's legal, so Apple should be able to do whatever it wants to do, as long as it's legal. And I get that from the standpoint of the legality, but I also happen to believe in this little thing I like to call doing the right thing. And Apple has become so good at avoiding paying taxes on profits in the places where those profits are being generated. It's hurting the places where they're making that money. So in this particular case, New Zealand, Apple paid nothing in nothing on to New Zealand's the taxing authority for income tax, the equivalent of our IRS, paid nothing over the course of, I think, 10 years, despite bringing in $4.2 billion in sales. And we all know that if Apple is selling $4.2 billion worth of product, it's making a profit on that money.
Unless but they're so they're, horribly mismanaged that they shouldn't be business. Right. And
We know that Apple is excellent at making a profit. And Apple does this by they license their IP to a subsidiary in a low tax area. I think in this particular case, it's a deal with Australia. And it's the way Australian accounting works that essentially makes it a low tax district for Apple in this particular regard. And then the Australian subsidiary turns around and relicenses the rights to sell Apple's merchandise at a rate that's so high that Apple New Zealand is essentially breaking even or plus or minus a very little bit of profit now and then.
Okay.
And so the result is that I think Apple paid $31 million in profits to Australia. Excuse me. Apple paid $31 million in taxes on this revenue generated in New Zealand to Australia, all legal. And the result is that New Zealand isn't getting any tax revenues for the money being earned from New Zealanders. And here's my problem. Apple uses local stuff. Right? Apple's employees.
You mean like resources, roads, power, yeah. Water, things like that.
Yeah, the education system, right? Apple benefits from New Zealanders being smart enough to be able to use Apple devices.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Apple should be kicking in for money locally to pay for those things that make it possible for Apple to make that money. Now, what Apple is doing is entirely, I want to emphasize this, it's entirely legal. And for a lot of people, that's the end. It's the end of the discussion. You know, change the laws. And that was my own reaction to the U.S. senators when they were complaining about Apple keeping its money offshore.
Mm-hmm.
They had Tim Cook up and they were grilling him about Apple's tax practices. And Apple happens to be the largest taxpayer in the United States. Apple actually pays a lot of money in taxes on the profits that it's generated, that it generates within the United States. And but the most of the profits that Apple is generating overseas, that money stays overseas, and Apple won't owe any income tax on it until and if it actually brings it back into the United States. Mm-hmm. This is a common practice for a lot of companies.
I'm going to get slightly pedantic on you. Not bring it back in the United States. Bring it in the United States. It's money that hasn't been here before.
That's a very good point. Thank you. That is a significant and a very appropriate point. And what Tim Cook told the senators that were grilling him is that we follow the law. If you don't like what we do, change the law, and we'll follow those laws. Right, and that's a really good point. The deals that Apple has with Ireland, the deal that Apple has with whatever's going on in New Zealand, these things are all the result of some kind of legal structure.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument is that we have lost our way if we say to ourselves that the only thing that matters is legality and corporate profit. If we're going to sacrifice everything on those two altars, we have lost our way. And there is such a thing as doing the right thing. And I believe that if Apple is doing business in a country and it's making money doing business in that country, it should be kicking in money based on that profits. And this is separate from the VAT tax, which is actually paid by customers.
Mm-hmm.
The New Zealand has a GST. A couple people in the comments of my article dinged me on said that, customers are paying the GST tax, which is a form of VAT tax. This is separate from that, right? I mean, that's not money. That doesn't have anything to do with the profits that Apple is making. Apple needs to pay income tax in local districts, in my opinion, at least some. The fair share is the phrase I kept using in my rant. I don't know what that fair share necessarily is, and different people can disagree on what a fair share might be, mm-hmm. but it needs to be something more than zero. Apple sold $4.2 billion worth of products in New Zealand and paid nothing to the New Zealand Inland Revenue Service.
All right, so I totally get what you're saying, and now I'm curious, what is your take on Apple's responsibility to shareholders? Would shareholders have a problem if Apple were to say, you know, we're in New Zealand, we're using their infrastructure, therefore we're just going to pay taxes, we're not going to move this money around so that we increase our overall profit?
Well, Apple, in fact, has a fiduciary, the Apple's officers have a fiduciary responsibility to increase shareholder value. And that's in essence, that's where we started down this, in my opinion, dark path of putting corporate profits above right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, mind you. And,
just call it what it is, corporate greed.
Well, I mean, actually, so one of the reasons why that law is in place, the idea that an officers of a company have a fiduciary responsibility to increase shareholder value, it's to keep officers from basically screwing shareholders for their own enrichment. I get where why those laws exist, and I largely support the principle behind those laws. The problem here is exactly how far does Apple need to go to do that? Is Apple in breach of fiduciary responsibility by not setting up a double Irish with a Dutch twist? No, Apple invented that, so I'm guessing that Apple would not be in breach of fiduciary responsibility by not doing that. Right? I mean, maybe. How far should you go? Like, if is it not reasonable for a multinational company to set up a subsidiary, sell the rights to that subsidiary to sell its products, and for that subsidiary to sell its products and to earn a little bit of profit, right? And keep in mind too that the money that Apple pays in income tax elsewhere in the globe, it doesn't owe here in the States, right? So it's not going to be double taxed. So I mean, mm-hmm. like, is that not a reasonable way to do it? I would say that is a reasonable way to do it. The notion. I mean, like, every other company, every other multinational company on the planet isn't being sued for doing exactly what Apple is doing. So that argument doesn't carry into any intellectual weight with me.
Yeah, this is one of those areas where I'm assuming that companies like Apple are having to, like, really pay attention to what they're doing, because there is the line between what's right and appropriate from a business standpoint, and what's right and what's appropriate from the community standpoint. And if they are putting any sort of drain on the community, they should be giving back.
But, yeah, be good citizens in the communities that you're participating in. Be a good citizen.
Right. But then we have...
I wonder, though...
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I wonder, though, if Apple is giving back to the community in New Zealand in some other way. Like, by way of scholarships or...
Well, okay, they're not...
grants.
So, one fellow said, and I honestly don't have the resources or ability to confirm this, but someone was saying that if... I'm quoting, had Apple reported the same healthy profit margin in New Zealand as it did for its operations globally, it would have paid $356 million in taxes over the period. Dollars to donuts or eagles to bagels. Apple does not give out $356 million in scholarships in New Zealand. Fair. So, yeah, Apple mm-hmm. may be doing some things. And there's a lot of good that Apple does. That's something I brought up in the piece. Apple is such a good steward of the environment wherever it goes. And Tim Cook talks about leaving the planet better than he found it. Or the Apple is leaving the company. Their goal is to leave the planet better than the way they found it. Well, sure. Paying your share, your fair share of local taxes is a part of that. In my opinion, now the vast majority of people who have ever commented on this topic say that I'm utterly wrong, and that Apple's only responsibility is to follow the law, do whatever it can to make as much money as possible, and essentially, screw everybody on the planet as long as it's legal. And I disagree with that. I reject that utterly. I reject that other do the right blanking thing.
You know, how many people really like Microsoft from the 1980s and 1990s? And my guess is the answer is most people look back on those years for Microsoft not with a positive outlook. And right. Microsoft, especially during those two decades, was very much exactly what you described, Brian, a company that was all about making the bottom line happen, making those profits happen, push the law all the way out to the edge of the envelope, and call it good. And it was a company without a conscience, and that wasn't a company that I liked. And I don't want Apple to be a company that I don't like.
Well, you know, like I said there's so many good things that Apple does. Like Apple's labor situation in China. Apple gets dinged for labor in China in ways that I think are completely unreasonable. Apple pays better than everybody else. Apple educates its employees far more than it has to, far more than anybody else is doing. Apple enforces limitations on working hours and works very hard at doing so. In fact, sometimes enough so that the local workers are actually cranky because they want to work more. Apple's environmental footprint stuff, you know, all the money that's put in renewable energies, the efforts that it has made in ensuring clean water is leaving its factories that it doesn't even own. Mm-hmm. Not using chemicals that are harmful to workers, or if they're going to be used, to do so in a safe way. Apple tends to exceed local requirements in these things in all ways. These are all wonderful things. Apple is this amazing corporation in that regard.
Yeah,
but this local tax thing is an issue to me. I'm not saying that Apple needs to be some kind of, you know, nonprofit company. Apple makes a lot of money. And the thing is how much money does Apple need to make? Now, don't get me wrong. There's no answer to that, right? It's not for me to decide exactly how much Apple should make. But Apple clearly makes more money than it needs. So why not be a good citizen? Pay your local fair share of the taxes.
Well, my guess is that even though that would be a really good karma thing, we're not going to see that happen until governments change their tax laws.
That's true. Yeah, that would be the way to change these things. The EU's approach in Ireland, essentially ruling that Ireland was giving illegal state aid to Apple. That's not the way to tackle the double Irish with the Dutch twist, or I forget the exact term that is used for whatever Apple is doing over there. That's not the way to do it. And these things get really, really complicated because companies will play one country against another country. Like Ireland benefits a lot from the way Apple does business in Europe.
But this is why these laws won't change, because all countries have to do it, or you're going to get the countries that realize they can give themselves an advantage by creating tax laws that are more favorable.
Right.
Yeah.
You could probably possibly put some kind of protectionist thing. That's a dark path that no one that most countries are going to rightfully shy away from. Yeah. And I don't want to suggest that this stuff is complicated. Is easy, because it's complicated. It's just that Apple is doing more here than every other company. Apple is exploiting the tax framework of the world better than everybody else. And a lot of other U.S. technology companies have actually followed Apple's lead here. So again, if Apple is being an innovator in this space, right, there's clearly a line that it could follow that's still legal and is not going to get the company sued for breach of fiduciary responsibility.
Well, maybe this is something shareholders should bring up then.
They want the profits.
I know.
Right. Yeah, hey, that's not going to happen.
I would love to keep talking about this, but we have a sponsor that I need to talk about because I want to talk about them. And that sponsor is Blue Apron. And Blue Apron is the company that goes out and finds responsibly raised animals that can be used for the meals that they create. They're looking for sustainably sourced seafood. They want to make sure the farms they're working with use regenerative farming practices. And so they find all this top quality, environmentally respectful stuff, And then they turned it into these awesome meals. And then they ship this stuff right to you. But the way they ship it to you, it's not cooked. So they're shipping you fresh produce, fresh beef and poultry and pork and seafood and everything you need to make an amazing meal. And then they give you the instructions so that you can put it together yourself and have this wonderful dinner that you've just prepared for yourself from fresh ingredients that are delivered right to your door. I love that they've put together these meal ideas that I wouldn't have thought of myself. For example, one of the meals that they have coming up soon, pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple. And that sounds magical to me. And I just love that they've come up with these wonderful ideas, come up with amazingly good quality ingredients, and then ship it all to you so you have fresh stuff. You can make a dinner for yourself and someone else, and it's going to taste great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And making these meals with someone else is just a really great experience. Getting to share the joy, that's pretty awesome. So what you guys need to do is go try out Blue Apron, because they make good stuff. The way you do this is by going to their website. And you want to use our special URL so they know where you came from. So that's blueapron.com/TDO. blueapron.com/TDO. And when you go to that URL, you get the first three meals off your order for free. Plus, you're also going to get free shipping. So you're going to get this wonderful food delivered right to your door for free. Well, the first three meals for free, and the shipping is free. But hey, you're saving money, and you're getting to try some really good stuff. So give it a shot. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and get your food ordered and have a wonderful dinner. And I know I'm loving their food. I bet you will too. So thank you to Blue Apron for being our sponsor today. And with
Can I interject with what I made this weekend?
What did you make this weekend?
I made from Blue Apron, of course, pork and marinated cabbage tacos mm-hmm. with some pineapple salsa. And mm-hmm. it was just, it was so good. It was so tasty.
That sounds really
good. Stuff.
Oh, yep. Man. Yes.
I was pretty pleased.
All right. Well, yep. And I totally get why. Okay. Well, with that, I don't think we can actually top that. So I'm going to wrap up the show. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Indeed. Thanks for having us.
Yep. And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you to Blue Apron for being a sponsor. Head over to their website, blueapron.com/TDO, and get those first three meals off your order for free, plus free shipping. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.